In my years as a Christian, well, you know, I was raised in church, got saved, backslid terribly, and then recommitted my life to the Lord at age 24. And since that time, every now and then I've heard something like this: it's really hard to live as a Christian. This is spoken from Christians. Well, I don't know. I just never really gave a whole lot of thought to that a long time ago when I had, you know, recommitted my life to Christ. And as the years have gone by, every now and then that concept has come up. And the other day I was thinking about it again, and I realized, you know what? That's one of the biggest lies that anybody's ever bought into. It's not, okay, yeah, challenges, temptation, I get it. But it's not as hard to live as Christ as what a lot of people would say. And what I'm going to do tonight is I am going to show you from the Word of God three keys, three principles, three concepts, three methods, I mean, whatever, but three aspects of how to live as Christ in this world, if you want to. It's totally up to you. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll start there. Ephesians chapter 4. And I can tell you right now, some of this sermon, it may really, well, there might be some folks out there that have been raised in what you might call Pentecostal churches. You know, Spirit-filled and gifts in operation and so forth. And they might be a little shocked at some of what I'm going to share with you tonight, but nevertheless, Ephesians chapter 4. Now, you have to keep in mind, this was written, the book of Ephesians was written to Christians. And in verse 24 it says, "And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." You got a new man. That's you. New man. And that new you is created in righteousness and true holiness. Very important to keep in mind. You know, if I have a chocolate chip cookie in my hand, that cookie was not made out of cast iron. It was made out of the dough and the chocolate chips. The point I'm getting at is this: the ingredients that were used to make you, that new man, righteousness and true holiness, those ingredients were used, and it comes from God, which after God, you are created in righteousness and true holiness. That is the very essence of your existence. Now look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Are you born again? Yeah. Are you? Yeah, means you're in Christ. And if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. A new creation, literally, a new creation, that new man that we just talked about, created in righteousness and true holiness. If you are in Christ, this is who you are. Now look over in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Pick it up in verse 5. "For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness," the oldness of the letter, newness of spirit. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, the new man created in righteousness and true holiness. Newness of spirit. Newness of spirit, that means you're not what you used to be spiritually. Newness of spirit. And then in chapter 8, verse 1, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And really, we could, if we think about what we just read over there in chapter 7, we could say, who walk not, who live not after the flesh, but after the newness of Spirit, or after that spiritual newness. For the law of the spiritual newness of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God, the life of God, the new nature of God, that new man from God, dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, the nature of Christ, that new creation from Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit, your new nature, who you have become, that new man is life because of righteousness. So, when it comes to living as Christ, the first aspect of this, and this is not in any specific order, well, really, technically it is. This is the priority here. It's that new nature. When it comes to living as Christ here in the world, that new nature that you have, created in righteousness and true holiness, that is what enables you to live as Christ in the world. Look in Galatians chapter 5. You see this spelled out again. In Galatians chapter 5, take a look at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, or live according to the newness of Spirit, live according to the new nature, live according to that new man created in righteousness and true holiness, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There it is, right there. There it is. The first component, and the most critical component, that is necessary to live as Christ here in the world, is to be born again, is to have that new nature. Once you have that new nature created in righteousness and true holiness, at that point you have the potential to, now listen to this, you have the potential to live as Christ in this world. Do you know what that means, to live as Christ? It means to live a sinless life. It means to live a perfect life here on earth. And that right there is going to trip up a whole lot of Christians. You know, it was really weird when I was growing up in the Baptist church, we were taught that, well, you know, you may be born again, but you still have a sin nature. And, you know, it's inevitable you're going to sin because you still have a sin nature. Well, then you'd hear, like the next week, you'd hear somebody teaching and they'd say something like, well, now if you're truly born again, you know, you're not going to sin. Because over there in 1 John, it talks about if any man, you know, belongs to God, if you're Christ, then, you know, you cannot sin. When you think about that, what a contradiction. On the one week, you're told you got a sin nature. It's inevitable you're going to sin. Then the next week, you hear that, well, if you do sin, you were never born again in the first place. Well, that'll drive you crazy. I mean, that's just plain old nuts. That wasn't that they were trying to confuse people. They just didn't understand. When you're born again, that born again part of you, that new nature, enables you to live as Christ in the world. If Jesus could withstand every form of temptation and say no, so can we. Because of the power of that life in us. The power of that born again nature. If you're going to live as Christ in the world, you have to understand and accept the fact that when you got born again, it was more than just the sacrifice of an animal like under the law. And this is where a lot of people mess up, Christians today. It's like they think that when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it's like offering a bullock or a lamb or something like that under the law, to where you shed the blood of that animal. And yeah, okay, it deals with that sin that you committed, but you know, still you're kind of a hopeless case. But see, that's not the way it is with Jesus. He's the final sacrifice. And what that means is, because he's the final sacrifice, then the whole issue of a sin nature has been dealt with, because if it hadn't been dealt with, there would be a need for more sacrifices. But there is no need for any more sacrifices. Therefore, that right there should tell you that something incredible has happened, and that through Jesus Christ, there's been a change on the inside, and that change is a new nature. Newness of spirit. Not what you used to be. Newness of spirit. And the power of that new life is power to overcome every temptation. When I was growing up, well, even after I came back to the Lord, hear things like from Christians, well, I just couldn't help it. I just couldn't help it. The temptation was too great. I just couldn't help it. And I bought into that. I mean, I believed it because I didn't understand. But now that I understand, I realize, no, you can't say that. And, you know, if that's what you believe, well, you need to get into the Word here and find out more about what happened when you got born again. You can help it. You absolutely can help it. You don't have to yield to sin. So when it comes to living as Christ in the world, the first thing to understand is when you got born again, you got a new nature, a new spirit, not just an old spirit that had been washed in the blood, but a new spirit. The Bible over there, I believe it's in Titus, it talks about how the Holy Ghost works on the inside of you. When you get born again, there's a washing of regeneration. But along with that, there's also that work of the Holy Spirit to regenerate you. A regeneration, not just a cleansing. And so, you're born again. Born again. A second birth. Subsequent to what you had before, you are not what you used to be. All right, well, that's the first one. Now, what about the next one? We'll look over in Romans chapter 2. What's the next component that enables us to be able to live as Christ in the world? Well, in Romans chapter 2, look at verse 14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are law unto themselves, which show the works of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. And verse 14, where it says, the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature. That's that new nature. That's that born-again life on the inside. And he's saying, when the Gentiles are living by that new nature, even though they never were given the law of Moses, he says they become, as it were, a law unto themselves. And it demonstrates the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience, and here it is, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Their conscience. That right there. There is a conscience which comes with the new nature. A conscience. Now this word conscience, it comes from the Greek word synaesthesis, something like that. And it means Now listen to what this word means. This is the word that God put in Scripture. All right, keep that in mind. This is the word that God put in Scripture. This word means to be one's own witness. One's own conscience coming forward as witness. It denotes an abiding consciousness whose nature it is to bear inner witness to one's own conduct in a moral sense. That faculty of the soul which distinguishes between right and wrong and prompts one to choose the former and avoid the latter. In other words, it's not the Holy Spirit, it is your conscience. Your conscience, as described right here, it is your conscience. And see, some Christians, it's almost like they have this idea that, well, the Holy Ghost didn't convict me. Well, he doesn't need to. Because are you born again? If you're born again, you've got a conscience, and that conscience is a part of that new nature, and that conscience is the convictor. Now, granted, the Holy Spirit can get involved. I know that. But that conscience is the convictor because that's a part of your new nature. And that conscience is at work on the inside of you, and it bears witness with what you're considering to do. And that conscience is directly connected with your new nature. And so it lets you know if this action that you're thinking about is contrary to or in agreement with who you become in Christ, that righteousness and that true holiness. This horrific doctrine that's been spreading throughout the world, where they talk about the grace of God and how that the grace of God is already taking care of everything, and that if you sin now, well, don't worry about it because the grace of God has already dealt with it. You know, we're not encouraging you to sin. We're not telling you it's okay to go sin. But what we're saying is, if you do, don't worry about it. You don't need to repent because the grace of God has already taken care of it. Now listen to me. If you are listening to a preacher who preaches that garbage, I'm telling you right now in the name of Jesus, you stop it. You say, well, who are you to tell me? I'm following a pattern in Scripture. The Bible says to mark those that cause divisions according to the doctrine that was established by the apostles. And it says, avoid them. And I'm telling you to avoid them because they're lying to you. They're deceived and they're teaching you out of that deception. And as they teach you out of that deception, what they're doing is teaching you to sear your conscience. Now listen, that conscience comes with the new nature. And I'm going to tell you right now, the more you sear that conscience, is the more you're separating yourself from that new nature. And you're headed to a destiny that you don't like. And let's say that well, I don't listen to that preacher, but I listen to somebody who is associated with that preacher that teaches those things. I wouldn't want to listen to that person either. I would not. They could come here in the church and sit and listen if they could stand it long enough. They could do that, but they're not going to stand behind this pulpit. There's no way. Because that stuff is garbage. And he says right here, look, you've got a conscience. And I'm telling you right now, the only way that you can sin and say, well, oops, I couldn't help it, you had to suppress that conscience. Because that conscience bears witness with the Holy Spirit, or with your born-again spirit. And if need be, the Holy Spirit can get involved and say, hey, are you listening? Are you listening to this? Are you paying attention to what's happening on the inside of you? There's another passage that kind of ties into this. Look over in 1 John chapter 3. Now the wording is different, but the image is basically the same thing. Now, the book of 1 John, the whole book, from chapter 1, verse 1, all the way to the end, the whole book was written to Christians. Now, you've got preachers out there that are going to tell you the first few verses of chapter 1 were not written to Christians, or that chapter 1 itself was not written to Christians. I took 1 John and I copied and pasted off of a computer program all the verses, and then I put them in regular letter form. Like if you were going to write a letter to me or me to you, put it in regular letter, sentence, paragraph structure, just like a regular letter. When you read it like that, it is impossible to say that any of it was not written to Christians. Totally impossible. So if you got a preacher in your life that's saying the first part here of 1 John, that it wasn't to Christians, turn that person off. I'm telling you, they're leading you astray. Now, that in mind, what we're getting ready to read was written to Christians. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. But if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. Now, what this is not saying is, if you're feeling guilty about something, don't worry about it because God's bigger than the guilt. That is not what this is saying. Amen. This is talking about what you're feeling on the inside about something. In other words, if your conscience is convicting you, you don't have to live in that self-condemnation. God is greater in that He will tell you, I'm here for you. And He'll confirm to you, you've got a nature on the inside of you that was birthed of me. You can say no. And if you do mess up, you turn back over here to chapter 1, and it says in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, okay, if you do mess up, here's your answer. God's greater than the mess up. But you've got a heart, a conscience on the inside. That, and that word condemn, it doesn't mean a sentencing you to an eternity in hell. No, it's talking, it's kind of the imagery of the conviction or that the conscience bearing witness. He says, look, your heart's going to deal with this. Your heart will convict you. And you don't need the Holy Ghost showing up and saying, you know, hey, don't, you're messing up. No, you've got a conscience on the inside. You have a heart. You have a new nature on the inside. And that new nature is going to convict you. That new nature is going to work with that conscience to let you know what you're even thinking about is wrong. So the first component to live as Christ in the world is that born-again spirit, that new nature. The second is the mind or the conscience of the new nature. And the third one is the mind of Christ. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And you take a look, go all the way down to verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. See, you don't have the mind of Christ if you're not born again. And you don't have a conscience of a new nature if you're not born again, don't have that new nature. As Christians, we have the mind of Christ. Now, this word mind, it's the Greek word nous. And it means intelligent understanding, mode of thinking. And in this context, it's one of those words that depending upon how it's used in the context, it could be something like, well, I have a mind to do something. Okay, well, my mental attitude is to do something. But that's not the image that this is presenting. Let me kind of paraphrase it. In this context, it's talking about the ability to comprehend, know, and understand the things of God. The ability to analyze circumstances and events according to the manner in which God perceives them. In other words, with the mind of Christ, you have the ability to think like Christ. Which means you have the ability to think like God. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be able to figure out how the universe was created. How did God make, you know, cells? I mean, that's not what this means. It means you're going to be able to comprehend a course of action in life based on how God thinks. You know, years ago, they had those little bracelets that came out. What would Jesus do? Well, I guess you could come up with your own little bracelet that says, how does God think? Or what does God think about this? Or something, I don't know. But, see, when you're thinking with the mind of Christ, then a whole lot changes in your life. You cannot rationalize doing something that is contrary to your born-again spirit. For example, when you are thinking with the mind of Christ, abortion is automatically understood as wrong. Automatically. Amen. When you're thinking with the mind of Christ. See, there's no debate. And this right here, the whole thing about the mind of Christ, look, if you just meditate on this concept, it's going to tell you volumes about Christians that you know. Just listen to them talk. Just listen to what they say. And you're going to understand very clearly what they really believe about who they are. When you're thinking with the mind of Christ, that thought process acknowledges that by Jesus' stripes I was healed. Now let me say it like this. That new nature coupled with the conscience, coupled with the mind of Christ, it doesn't, please don't anybody take this wrong. Please don't. Please don't twist my words. Just listen closely. The new nature coupled with the mind of Christ, coupled with that conscience, it doesn't need the Bible as much as what some people say. How do you mean that? Here's how I mean that. I don't need the Bible to find out that homosexuality is wrong. Because there's going to be something on the inside of me that says, when I'm thinking with the mind of Christ, I'm going to know I can't be shacking up on Friday night and worshiping on Sunday morning and thinking everything's okay. When I'm thinking with the mind of Christ, when I'm thinking with the mind of Christ, I'm going to realize, okay, I'm not supposed to be enduring a whole lot of affliction and sickness and injury and blah, blah, blah. The healing is there for me. See, because the new nature confirms this with the conscience and the mind. This is why, okay, I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but when you think with the mind of Christ, you analyze situations from the God perspective, not the world perspective. That's why this is so critical to understand. So, see, here's the thing. The conscience and the mind, it's like they work together to produce what many Christians refer to as the inner witness. You need to be led by the inner witness. You don't have to be hearing the voice of God all the time. Led by the inner witness. Well, see, the new nature is there, but then that conscience of the new nature and the mind of Christ of the new nature work together with the new nature, and you have that inner witness, the knowing of what you're supposed to do. Okay, now, the moment that a person gets born again, every single Christian has all three of these. These are not things that you attain to. These are things that you have the instant you're born again. All three of these. The new nature, the conscience, and the mind of Christ. They're all there. You can't say that you don't have them. You can't say that you don't know. And all three of these are interrelated and they cannot be separated from each other. It's like, you know, a threefold cord. It's all twisted together. You cannot separate them from each other. It's like, well, I mentioned before about the chocolate chip cookie. You take the ingredients, mix them together, there you've got the cookie. You know, I mean, it's the cookie. All the ingredients are there. You're not going to separate the flour back out. It's all there. Now, these three, the new nature, the conscience of the new nature, and the mind of Christ, do not need tongues to exist in a believer. Now, hear me out. You get all three of these the moment you're born again. You do not need the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues to get any of these. You get them the moment that you're born again. You don't have to pray in tongues to get these. You already have them. However, praying in tongues can help you learn to be more sensitive to all three. Praying in tongues can help you learn how to develop your daily life of living by all three. So I'm not dismissing tongues, but what I'm saying is, and remember earlier, I mentioned how that some Pentecostals may not like this, but because a lot of Pentecostals think if you ain't got tongues, you ain't got nothing. In fact, some of them, they'll tell you, if you can't speak in tongues, you're not even born again. Well, that's not true. That's not in Scripture. Not at all. Can you imagine somebody, you know, they've been seeking for years. This is the Pentecostal contradiction. You know, some of them say, well, you know, if you don't speak in tongues, then you're not even born again. But then they tell people they need to tarry at the altar. And so what, are you telling people that don't speak in tongues, been attending the church for 35 years, love the Lord, but they're not born again, they're going to hell because they don't speak in tongues? I mean, what exactly are you telling people? Again, that's crazy. No. You're born again, you have the life of Christ, that new nature, you have that conscience, and you have the mind of Christ. Praying in tongues helps every single believer to develop their sensitivity to all three. And you can more successfully live by them. Thing is, you don't need tongues to live by them. I want to emphasize that. You know, think of it this way. Jesus wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit until he was 30 years old. But he lived without sin up until that point. And somebody could say, well, yeah, but you know, he was the Son of God. Well, what are we? See, the Holy Spirit, go there in Romans chapter 8, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We're his offspring. Okay, so you can't come up with these excuses. Now, all of this is true. So why in the world is it that a lot of Christians struggle so much living this way? Well, here's one of the reasons. It's because man's religious traditions can corrupt the analytical process of these three, resulting in a searing of the conscience and a confusing of the mind. The mind of Christ, that ability to think that way. Because when you get born again, if you start hearing teaching sown into your life that contradicts what the Bible says about who you are and what you have, then you start believing what you're hearing, and then you start thinking, well, just like I shared earlier, growing up Baptist, well, you got a sin nature, it means you're going to sin sooner or later, so here I am, I get born again, and that's what I hear, so I just begin to accept it. And that sears the conscience of the conviction that it would have there. Because now, if I do feel conviction, I can say, well, you know, I mean, they told me that I've got a sin nature and I'm going to sin, so I might as well get it over. So, man's traditions, they're going to mess you up big time in this. This is going to sound kind of strange, but you take somebody who's born again and they've never been to church in their life, they have a better chance of living a successful Christ-like life here on this earth than a lot of Christians who get born again and stuck in a church that teaches traditions. Because those folks have never been in church, but they are absolutely positively born again, they don't have any traditions blocking the truth of who they are. And it's almost like that nature on the inside, the mind of Christ, I mean, free-flowing, because there are no traditions. There's nothing in there to hold them back. Well, see, that's one of the reasons why that, I mean, you get into the New Testament and you start seeing how that, yeah, well, for example, the Corinthian church. Man, those people were messed up big time. And wrong doctrine was leading to a whole lot of compromise in that church. But every single one of them, that the Christians, they were born again, had the conscience and the mind of Christ. They had all that. And yet the wrong doctrine was creating problems, and that's why Paul had to write these letters to try to straighten these things out. Now, for every single one of us, we cannot blame the Holy Spirit if we make wrong choices. We cannot say, well, you know, I didn't feel God's presence. What? But you're born again with His life and His nature. You're His offspring. Well, you know, the Holy Spirit didn't convict me. You've got a conscience. Well, I just didn't. No, I just. No, you got the mind of Christ. And you have to like take these things and shove them into the back of your mind, some, you know, mental closet, to not live as Christ. Because all of this is a part of who we are. You know, this is one of the reasons why when you read through the Bible, the New Testament now, there are times when it almost seems like, and I'm generalizing here, okay? But there are times where it almost seems like some of these apostles were just plain old mean to some of the new converts. Almost like they expected them to live as Christ the moment they got born again. Well, who'd have thought, you know? That's because we can. We can live as Christ the moment we get born again. Yes, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, it helps. Yes, absolutely, meditating in Scripture and worship, it helps. Yes, fasting, it helps. The thing is, consider the book of Psalms, the whole thing about the worship. You go through and you read the book of Psalms, David wasn't even born again. And look what he wrote about when it comes to worship and praising God. How much more so those of us who are born again and our spirit is totally compatible with God. I'm telling you right now, there's something in you that will want to worship God because you're born again. Think of it like this. You take a little baby, that baby that's born, I'm talking a baby that's less than 6 months old. And that baby will reach for mama. That baby will reach for daddy. And that baby can't even talk. But yet that baby knows there's something in it. Something in that baby that reaches out. That something spiritually is in us. And it reaches out to our God, our Father. Now guys, listen. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can live the Christ-like life every single day. It's a matter of yielding to that new nature, the conscience of the new nature, and the mind of Christ, thinking that way. And I'm telling you, it'll change every single day of your life. This is who we are in Christ. Praise God. This is absolutely wonderful. Man, I'm telling you, it's encouraging. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you for your word tonight. Father, this is a truth that a lot of Christians need to hear because they've heard a lot of wrong teaching and it just messed them up on the inside. Well, I thank you that this message answers so many questions for so many people. And I thank you, Father, for the way that it's encouraged me. We have no excuses, but we do have all the potential. And Father, I praise you for the way that you are moving in this world, working to confirm to people that you are still God, that Jesus is still on the throne, and no weapon of any sickness is greater than your healing power. So Father, I praise you for this, and I thank you that we are living in victory, and may we as believers be examples of that victorious life to the people around us, walking and living in victory with not a hint of fear in our lives. Thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen.